Why don't we start with a prayer? Heavenly Father, Divine Mother, Friend, Beloved God, Jesus Christ, Babaji Krishna, Lahiri Mahashaya, Swami Sri Yukteswar, our beloved Gurudeva, Paramahansa Yogananda, saints of all religions, our friend and teacher, Swami Kriyananda, we humbly bow before all of you. Divine Mother, be with us this evening. Open our hearts. Allow energy to flow upward. Bathed with devotion for you, neutralizing all of our likes and dislikes, and helping us to feel your presence in everyone, in everything, behind every action. Om. Peace. Amen. Okay, so I'm not going to start all the way back down at Earth again. We don't need to do that. But I do want to mention, because it's important, and Bhajana kept mentioning it last week, and it was very meaningful, and it's the essence of all that we're going to talk about, certainly from the beginning, but in a particular way moving forward now. She kept using the word enthusiasm, and she kept saying it, we need enthusiasm. And it's a big word. We could use the word power. We could use the word energy. Really, what she was pointing out to us is that we have to gather all of that strength that's coming up from the first chakra through the second chakra and really through this third chakra to be able to move on spiritually, really, at all. That's the point. Last week was a breaking point. Arjuna throws down his bow and arrow, says, I won't fight. Krishna says, yes, you will. For the sake of everyone, for the sake of everything, remember, everyone resides within us. It's not really this army of people that's outside of us, nor is it really Arjuna who represents all of us. That whole army lives within us. That is the energy in our chakras, that they are the vrittis that we are trying to neutralize. And Patanjali, who's the great teacher of yoga, which means that place where we realize that we are one with everything, we realize it. We don't have to think about it. We don't have to learn it. Where we actually feel it right at our core. Patanjali says, yoga is the neutralization of all of this energy. It's that place where we lose. We'll talk tonight about our likes or dislikes, where we don't have to worry about which way the fire is going. We're not being tyrants out in the world. We're not being dictators. We're not being controlling. We're not losing, based on the second chakra, our fluidity, just flowing everywhere, not knowing where or in what way to direct our loyalty, our focus, our creativity, where to direct our intuition. Bhajan has said many times last week, I've said it too, but she was the last one who spoke, always bringing our attention to the point between the eyebrows. That's the direction for everything. That's what neutralization of the vrittis really means. It means just drawing all of the energy in and allowing it to flow upward. But it's not just allowing it. It's saying we need enthusiasm. We need to bring all of that power, all of that fire that is that third chakra. Swamiji says in one of his talks, really to attain freedom, freedom in this case, remember we're talking about being spiritually free, which means always remembering, knowing, remembering in the Sanskrit way, right? Smriti, where we know from the inside out who we really are. It's not a function of the mind anymore. That's why the English language gets a little tricky, because it makes us think we're supposed to sit and remember the way we remember things in classes. No, you remember because it's like, what do we call it in English? We call it an aha moment. That aha, now I get it. That's what this is. That really is what smriti means. But he says to attain freedom, you can't just be avoidant. You don't just avoid the power, the things you're afraid of. It's not avoidance and it's not fear. That you need courage, enthusiasm, power. You need a sense of victory to be able to feel free. Now again, I'm backing up a little bit. We're talking about the third chakra, which is fire. So everything comes into that third chakra, and we subject it to this fire, and it's transformed. It's purified and transformed. So whatever we offer in, you know, we have a wonderful purification ceremony here on Sundays, many of you know. But actually, as I look around, many of you don't know. So where for 45 minutes before our Sunday service, you come up and symbolically, you write on a piece of paper some quality that you would like to either offer back to the divine, because after all, God is everything. He's not just the love we feel, the joy we feel, the compassion. He's the angst that we feel when somebody gets in our way of accomplishing something, when our boss isn't treating us a certain way. It's the greediness that we feel, the jealousy that we can feel. So we write on a piece of paper either something we want to say, you know what, God, this was yours to begin with. Here, I'm going to offer it back to you. I often write on there all traces of ego. That's a big demand, prayer. Just take my ego. But I write it there. But I could write a lot of different things. Or you could say, help me to love more. Help me to be more compassionate. Help me to enhance a quality that I'd like to enhance. Help me to see you in everyone, behind every thought, behind every action. Even when I'm wondering, really? This too is God? Everything's God. And you bring it up in front of a light bearer. And you say these words when you come up to our altar on Sunday morning. I seek purification by the grace of God. It's so beautiful to offer that humility. It's not demeaning ourselves. It's not surrendering any part of ourselves. It's saying, I seek purification. I want that energy to flow through my third chakra intact. I want all of that energy by the grace of God. And then we do this little ceremony. We pray, we as light bearers, just acting as channels for these great masters. We meditate with you. We bless you at the heart chakra, which I'll talk about in a minute. And at the very end of it, we say to who's ever in front of us, by the grace of our masters, you are free. And then you take that piece of paper and you bring it up to the altar and you offer it to these great masters. And then we used to burn them. We don't anymore because people have had a lot of trouble with the fire, excuse me, in terms of allergies, sensitivities. So somebody takes that bowl outside afterwards and we set it on fire because it symbolizes exactly this, all of this energy swirling through these vrittis and neutralizing them. And remember, we talked about all of that energy coming in. And in our case, it's coming up, in and up. And just grabbing all those little, not really knowing what we're loyal to, maybe being a little too fluid and getting lost, maybe not having the groundedness, the determination, and we're just offering it all up. That's what all of this is about. But we cannot move on from here because the fourth chakra is really, we talk about the lower three chakras and the upper three chakras. And Bhajana has been telling us all of the chakras, those lower three chakras, they're related to one chakra in particular as the upper three. It's not that the lower three are bad, quite the contrary. We need them. We need to work with them. But now we come to the heart chakra. Now we really, in earnest, enter into a spiritual reality. And again, I don't want to say as if we haven't been. Of course we have been. But now we enter into the heart, which is represented by the element air, which really is way more formless than anywhere that we've been until now. It's not earth. It's not water. It's not even fire. It's not in the physical world in the same way that these other elements have been. So something very expansive happens here. Air, if you just let it go, you know, you can compress air. You can put, I don't know, I should have looked this up actually, but I didn't know I was going to say it. How many cubic feet of air with a lot of pressure into some small cylinder? But what happens the minute you let it go? That same air not only goes out and fills up a space much bigger than that, but it becomes, it engages itself. It almost becomes lost in all of what's around it. Not lost, but unified with. So it goes, can very easily go from being separate in that cylinder to being unified. So it has a lot less definition. And when we think, remember we've talked a lot about self-definition in many courses here. So it loses its individuality and it really moves in a very big way towards universality. There's a big shift that happens here at the heart if we use that energy that's been coming up our spine in the right way. And I can use that word here. Because the heart and what's going on in the heart is very, very subtle. This is one of the harder chakras to talk about so far. Because what happens, you know, this difference in the heart chakra where likes and dislikes reside, that's a huge topic to try and talk about. Our likes and dislikes and all of our choices that we make in the world, in all of our lives, based on that. I like this, I don't like that. I want this, I don't want that. This person's treating me well, this person is not treating me well. This is the better, worse, either or, and it's huge here. And what happens? We fool ourselves. And it's subtle because it's air. It's a different quality here. So it's very easy to fool ourselves, to say, you know, I meditated on this morning and I'm certain God wants me to be with this partner. I'm certain. Everything feels absolutely right. And when our heart is wanting that and craving that, we are very good at telling ourselves that's the truth. And we do it in the name of God. You know, look at all of what's going on in the world these days in the name of God. Really. And do you think for a minute that these terrorists are not as committed in the name of God to what they're doing as we are to what we call peace and calmness? I don't know how many of you have seen the movie or the play or read the book Les Miserables, but it's rather an extraordinary story. How many of you have ever know the story at all? Can I just see a show of hands? Okay. I don't have time, nor would it be terribly worthwhile to tell it. But, you know, it's a classic. And here's the part of the story that's really important. I've seen this play probably 6 times on Broadway and other places. It's very touching and very powerful. But the story is, it takes place right at the outbreak, just before and then during the French Revolution. And there's a man who, because his family was starving, stole some bread. And he stole bread and he fed his family. Then there's part of the gendarme, the French police, and there's a man particularly, his name I'm blocking, Javert, thank you, who decides that at all costs he's got to catch this man and he's got to put him in jail because he behaved wrongly. He stole. And a big thrust of what's going on in this play is that Javert is after, who's Jean Valjean, thank you. I don't know how I could forget that, but I love their names. Jean Valjean's a beautiful man who's serving a lot of people in the world, not just feeding his family, but it's a complicated story, but has committed himself to taking care of another, a woman's child who he met, because years ago in his factory, unbeknownst to him, some of the rules that he created had her lose her job. That's not as meaningful, except to say that he turns his whole life around to take care of her daughter as she dies at a young age. So he feels not only for himself, but now he has this young girl who he's committed to taking care of. But Javert is absolutely as committed to finding him and to getting him put back in jail for the rest of his life because he committed this wrong of stealing bread. And when you meet these characters, you realize when Jean Valjean has an opportunity to kill Javert later and he doesn't, but he wants to let him go free, Javert is so committed to his belief that what he's doing is right that he commits suicide in that moment instead. It's so powerful when you get inside of the workings of people who are committed to something based on what they believe is right in their heart. Am I telling enough of the story to get it? It's just like when we look at these terrorists, these people who will blow themselves up and a lot of other people and children. I mean, they'll send children out to do it. They're not doing it just to be horrible. They actually believe that God wants this of them. That's an extreme story, but believe me, we all get caught up in the feelings in our hearts in these ways. Asha says very cutely in many of her talks, when she talks about looking back at things that we've done in the past in our lives, she said, you know, it seemed like a good idea at the time. And it's very powerful. Of course it did. We wouldn't have done it otherwise. It's very subtle here. Everything about the heart chakra is very subtle. At its best, it's all of these things. It's about our own expansiveness, spiritually speaking. It's about less self-definition, less individual, more universal, more a part of all that is, less boundary. We start losing that clarity about who we're sure we think we are. Nothing that the mind can do for us, nothing. You have to do this through meditation, through other spiritual practices of drawing energy in and just letting it flow up through the heart till you begin to have an experience of being bigger than you are. I had a woman who I saw today as part of my medical practice, and she told me about an experience she had as a little girl that put her right on her path. She's actually not on this path, but she said, I sat down for the first time to meditate, and she was telling me she was near some sea. I don't remember right now which sea it was. It doesn't matter. Obviously in an expansive environment. And she had a profound experience. She said, as I was coming out of the meditation, and she was little, she was just a little girl, she said, I couldn't remember where I ended and where the sea began. And she said, as I came out of the meditation, it scared her. Of course it would, you know, when you get back into yourself and you don't know what's sea and what's you. But it was so beautiful while she was in it. You can't sit down near the sea and say, okay, I'm going to be one with the sea. But if you go into a deep enough meditation, you begin to feel, wow, I could never have taught myself this, but I am a part of all that is. And I'm losing my boundaries about that. That's what happens at this chakra. You develop much more humility. Of course you would be more humble when you realize that you're a part of everything around you and you lose a sense of self. More openness. And here's the most important part of the heart chakra. And that is, and we have to practice this at a human level, what I'm about to say. So it's interesting how we use each incarnation. So we have to practice love at a human level. I've often said people who become parents get to do this probably in the deepest, most meaningful way if they know what they're doing, because the truth is, at a human level, it is the easiest to love your children. And it's the easiest to love your children the younger they are. As they get older and they start to develop their, you see their own karma, you see their own likes and dislikes. Everybody who's a parent in this room knows that this is true. It's hard. Of course, you love them just as much when they're 15 and 16, but it's challenging. And there can be times where you are really challenged to keep your heart open to this now other separate individual. But when they're babies, even when they're toddlers, even when they're toddlers and they're throwing their temper tantrums, we don't really take it seriously. But the first time they look at us and say, I don't like you, or worse, they say, I hate you, or you're ruining my life because you want them in by midnight or whatever it is, it just challenges us. They become their own beings. But the truth is, when they're young, or those moments when we first fall in love, and we all know what that's like, and your heart is just so wide open, those are the ways that we practice. Now, we practice with all human love, and I'm playing with it a little bit, not by much. But the truth is, in relationships, and a lot of people feel this, you first fall in love, and it's such a beautiful love. Then you go through all those years in the middle of trying to make the marriage work or the relationship work. It's hard work. Anybody who's been in a relationship for more than 2 years will tell you that. It gets to be hard work. Then you get to the other side, and I think particularly for those of us who have been on a spiritual path, and the love becomes less personal. It just does. We are less committed to our ways, our needs. It's my way or the highway, right? We move through that, and that love can really grow on the other side because we've been practicing. And of course, along the way, not every relationship makes it. I'm not convinced that every relationship is supposed to make it or meant to make it. You know, this is where karma comes in. But when we're talking about, now we're talking about expansive love, spiritual love, the love that's going to take us, continuing on our soul's journey up through these chakras, we get to practice at the human level, practice loving, practice opening our heart, practice generosity, and then we get to practice seeing the divine in everyone. And I mean, literally, we can practice. So many of you have heard some of the stories that I've gone through in my own relationship, which I so freely share here. Anyway, I freely share it, and I just hope that it's seen in the right light if it's ever seen from home. But I had an experience once, a divine, many of you know I call it a spiritual epiphany, where I was told that every single time moving forward that I look at my husband, those of you who are in relationship, just imagine this really, that I would not see him, but that I would see God looking back out at me, that I would always see Divine Mother through his eyes, and that I would never see anything wrong with him again. That's a challenge. That was a big order that night as God talked to me. Really, probably now at least 15 years ago. I mean, huge. And then every time I wanted to become critical of the person, to say to myself, remember, this is not what it appears to be. This is God talking to you. Listen, What is God trying to tell you right now? I told you last week, I think it was in here, where I told you that he often would say to me, you're being mean. And I just couldn't imagine that I was mean. I just could not imagine that I was a mean person ever. You know, until one day it dawned on me in the midst of one of those, wow, listen to yourself. That's mean. It was mean. And it was meant, albeit unconsciously in the moment, to hurt or to stop. Get out of my way. I don't want you here, so I'm going to say something mean and see if you'll go away. No, Shanti, remember, this is Divine Mother. Do you want to speak that way? You know, it's very interesting. I was leading a group one night. I was leading a group, but I was absent one night, and I heard about the group that somebody used some language that we just typically wouldn't use in this temple. I mean, most of us, it always amazes me that people swear. I have to tell you, not because I never swore, but because it's been so many years that I just can't imagine. I mean, it's not that I can't even imagine saying the words. It's those words would never come into my consciousness anymore. Now watch, something's going to happen to me tomorrow that's going to make me reach for one of those words. I just know it. But let me say that 99.9% of the time, it would never dawn on me. And I also find it kind of a cheap shot at the English language, and it lowers everybody's energy. And I just say to people, it's not good for you to say those words. It's not good for you to have the thoughts that would have you say the words, but it's not. But anyway, I heard at this meeting that was sort of, I was overseeing, but not there, that somebody had really used some nice expletives about another person in our community. And I called that person and asked them to come and speak with me about that, privately, of course, not in the group. And I said, did this happen? Yes, it happened. And that. And I said, really, what were you thinking? Well, it was justified and it helped me. So finally, I said to her, let me ask you, if Swamiji had been in the room, would you have said that? And she said to me, of course not. I said, if I had been in the room, would you have said it? She thought. She said, no, probably not. I said, then why would you ever say it? Why would it ever come to you? Do you know what allows us? If we think we're seeing God in everyone, if Swami Kriyananda were in this room or Master was in this room, how would we behave? Because the truth is, they are through every one of us. They're right here. And whatever our likes or dislikes are, and whatever way we've decided that we can give ourselves permission to see it differently, that's really all it is. If we actually want to take this journey up the spine, then we have to start saying to ourselves over and over and over, oh, here's Divine Mother in this form. Here's Divine Mother in that form. And I really mean it. And it's not easy, but that doesn't make it any less the truth. A couple of days ago, somebody wanted to come and talk to me about something that I knew was going to be challenging. I knew it for a lot of reasons. I knew the person was aggravated. I knew the subject was going to be aggravating and difficult to me, and maybe not aggravating, but trying to find Dharma in the midst of it was going to stretch me. So I said to myself about 45 minutes before that meeting, now would be a very good time to go over to the temple and meditate. I could have just as easily, which 2 years ago I might have done, gotten engaged in the battle in my office and started explaining everything in different light to this person. But I said to myself, really, what is going to allow you to go into this meeting with your heart as wide open as it can be? And it was just a blessing that that came to me. That was the gift 15 years ago. No, you will not fight with your husband. You will always see God. That is your practice. Now, just so I'm saying it in front of you and the whole rest of the world, do I always see God? I wish I could say I did. I don't. But it's always right there. Oops, you didn't do it right this time. Shanti, you weren't on. It doesn't matter how justified I feel in the argument or in these meetings, behaving other than heart wide open, looking at Divine Mother all the time. That's what the heart chakra is. It's transcending our likes, our dislikes, our opinions, our judgments. And you can all imagine, as I'm speaking, how self-righteous we could get about this. Because let's face it, there are a lot of difficult people in the world. And you know, you could walk away and say, of course I got irritated. Of course I, whatever. But really, it has nothing to do with the other person. Nothing to do with the other person. It has only to do with where we are all the time. I tell you these stories because they're, what's the word I want? Sorry, I can't think of the word, but they demonstrate the point perfectly. Who is it who always comes up with my answers here? Kamal always comes up with my answers. I'm not going to put you on the spot. I thought you would have the word right there for me. Somebody came to see me and they were telling me a little bit about some difficulty they were having with their parent. And this is a grown woman, so the parent's older. And in the course of telling me this story, this man who is, you know, it's one of those things where the parent had really been difficult all of his life. I mean, I heard the stories, the parent was difficult. And I think maybe even deeply disturbed, actually. And now he has children and the children are grown. And he was saying to me, the kids don't want to be around my parent. And then told me a story about how awful the parent was, so how he had to intervene when they were together, and how now the son's saying, I don't want to go there anymore. And I said to this person, I said, you know, you're telling me this story to tell me how difficult your parent is and how justified you are in the way you intervened, when you intervened, because you were doing it in the name of protecting your child. The child's grown up too, by the way. And I said, but you know, if you had turned to that child and said, your grandfather really loves you and he's doing the best he can, you don't really ever need to be near him, but he's really trying to be loving and whatever. I said, he probably wouldn't have the same feeling. And so I'm sharing this story to say, yes, the parent's difficult, but where do we enter in? What if we had been able to treat that parent right then as if it were a manifestation of divine energy? What if we had been able to do that? The story would look very different. And I wasn't even saying to this person, you should, because actually I'm not sure that the person shouldn't divorce his parents. There are times where that has to happen. And I don't know how the story is going to turn out yet. But I am saying that if we're always willing to look inside and ask ourselves, what if, even if we need to leave a relationship, what if we do that with our heart wide open and with great love? How does the story go differently then? How does the story in our spine go differently? And in that other person's spine go differently? Because as long as we hold on to the same usual, traditional ways of dealing, this person's mean to me, I have a right to have this feeling. What does that even mean? I have a right to. That's not what we're doing as yogis. We're saying to ourselves, what can we do in every situation that's going to help us raise our own energy? Does that usually mean that people around us calm down, change, feel better, feel safer to become more of who they are? It does. I can tell you, often. If the person's actually got some psychotic disorder, does that happen? No. But do we still walk away feeling closer to God, closer to our true nature? Whenever we can, we have to be honest with ourselves. Each one of us can only take our next step. Everything that we do that leaves us on the left side of each of these columns, expansive, humble, open, loving, devotion rather than emotion, any time that we start getting very emotional about something, even as yesterday I was feeling like, oh man, I got to go into this meeting. Now would be a good time to go meditate, Shanti, right now, because you have that deep negative feeling about it. If we could try always to stop ourselves and turn ourselves inward and upward, even if we have to go through the difficult situation, we walk away feeling better. Does that make sense to everybody? Because we're really much more in touch with who we really are. And it always feels better to treat ourselves well and to treat other people well. Always, no matter how horrible they're being. Does anybody have any, I'm going to just stop and collect myself here for a minute. So does anybody have any comments or questions, stories, anything you'd like to share?
I have a challenging father, and lately I've decided that I want to change the way I think about him, the way I relate to him. Mm-hmm. And so the way I've been praying for him is for peace and happiness and free from suffering. Mm-hmm. And he's a hoarder, and I'm trying to help him get through whatever that is in the way I can, living remotely. And my relationship with him since praying for him is totally different. And he seems happier. And I don't even think it's about me, but having that desire for someone's happiness and someone's freedom from suffering has really just kind of shifted things in my world and the way I relate. And it's been really amazing.
Thank you for sharing that. That is so such a beautiful story and such an important story. When you say, I don't even think it's about me, it's not about you, Krista, and good for you for knowing that. But because then we get on the other side, oh, look at what I did, look at how great I am. That doesn't work. But it is about all of what you've done until this moment. By the way, I just have to say, is it any accident that you walked in here for the first time tonight? It's sort of interesting hearing that story. I mean, here we are talking about the heart. But that you could know enough to open your heart and decide to start praying for him, which really means allowing divine energy to flow through you to him, is healing in ways that we cannot imagine. And Master and Swamiji say it over and over, that when we feel angry with somebody or somebody's behaving in bad ways, as soon as we start praying for them, you know why? Because you cannot hold on to anger and love at the same time. They are mutually exclusive. And when you swallow whatever pride, whatever, this is my father, how could he have treated me this way, or whatever any of the stories are, and you start loving that person, you are completely changing the energetic dynamic in which you both live and relate. I don't even mean that you live together, but I mean everything changes. The minute you start saying, this is why this peace and harmony prayer, you said peace and happiness, which you may be praying for, which is perfect, but we've all been doing this peace and harmony prayer, Ananda worldwide. It will change the world. There is no doubt about it. It has to. Everything's energy. Everything can be transformed. Everything gets affected. Every time we say, Lord, grant my father peace and happiness, just to be respectful of what you're saying, it changes everything. It changes everything. So that's a beautiful story. Yeah.
Earlier you spoke of...
Could I ask you to hold on your question for 1 minute? Because I want to say something that I just glanced down and I saw. I used to say that I never, ever gave a sermon, a talk, or a class, and I think this was probably true for about 10 years, without saying, that quoting Master, when he said, a room can be in darkness for thousands of years, but the instant you turn on a light, the darkness disappears. He said that. He went on to expound on it. I mean, he basically said you can't reason with the darkness, you can't argue with the darkness, you can't beat it up, you can't make it go away in any way other than turning on a light. And when you think of it, because it's so hard for our minds to grasp energy and what I was just saying to you, you changed everything from the instant you started that. You turned on the light. And once the light's on, there just simply is no darkness. We can't make it dark in this room, no matter what we do. And that is a beautiful analogy for life. I just looked down and saw something that related to that. And I wanted to say, that's what Master meant. And if we can remember that, what can I do to turn on a light? What does that look like in this situation at this moment? Which is exactly what you did. I'm sorry.
But anyway, earlier you were talking about offering, making an offering to God, say, and writing something down. And I'm just, does this includes inner negativities or problems?
It includes everything.
I don't understand how you, if you had something horrible and you wrote it and you wanted to offer it, I guess to purge it in the hearts of the fire, but...
You see, it's not just like you say, I just need to be rid of this here, I'm going to put it over here. The very intention, the very thought that you sit, that you walk up here on a Sunday morning, it is so beautiful, and you kneel, and you say, I seek purification by the grace of God. There is nothing. God does not see you as being awful. You are not seen that way. And I can say to you, not just in God's eyes, but in devotees who have been on this path for, on any path for any period of time, people come to me all the time, and it sometimes takes them years to tell me their secrets. Years. And then when they tell me, I think, that's what they've been afraid. That's what they've been holding as awful. Almost nobody ever sees us as looking as awful or as we feel about ourselves. And even if we've done the most despicable things that we can imagine, what would that be? Murder? Raping a child? I mean, stealing our grandmother's, you know, $500,000 worth of jewelry and selling it for cocaine? I've met a lot of people who do these things. You know, the minute you decide with any sincerity, and sometimes we can't stick to it, sometimes it's just the moment that we're there, and we are not just saying, take this from me, but I'm not, okay, if you really mean it, if you really mean it, then just take it away. No. But when we sit down and our intention, this is why Master says God watches the heart. And it's not like there's another being out there watching our heart, but when our heart opens in the right direction, in an instant, all of that is gone. God knows who we are. God absolutely knows who we are. I one time wrote to a friend who was suffering with something that he hadn't been good enough in a certain situation, and it lasted over years. I haven't been good enough. And you know, and he was suffering about his relationship with his spiritual teacher. And I said, you know, you gave him everything you had. You didn't give what you didn't have, but neither did he expect that. He knew who you were. I mean, it's so clear. We, in our separateness and from our minds, are so judgmental of ourselves. I hope I'm even answering your question. Am I? You know, how many people in this room, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. When you look in the mirror, do you look in the mirror and say, wow, that is my best quality? You look in the mirror, you immediately see what's wrong. You see exactly what's wrong, and you see it as being more wrong than it really is. Nobody else would ever see it as being as wrong as you do. I lived for years thinking that I was ugly because of this. You see this? I wear a size 6 or 8. Really, I suffered over this for decades. I called myself fat. It was real to me. But that's not the only thing. I'm not going to tell you too many of my... You look in the mirror, you see what's wrong. You know, we all do it. And we're just looking in a big mirror here. You know, there's nothing wrong. There's absolutely nothing wrong. The instant you turn on a light, the darkness disappears. I didn't make that up. This avatar said that to us. We have to all let that in. How can I turn on a light? What does that mean? in our lives. It doesn't always mean saying the peace and harmony prayer for your father. Maybe you have the best father in the world, but believe me, it means something. And we have to remember, you know, there was a friend of mine who, she's been very heavy all of her life. I've probably watched her lose, no kidding, about 300 pounds. She loses it, but I'm not exaggerating. She has probably lost, in the years I've known her, 300 pounds. One time I found this little magnet that I put on her refrigerator. And it said, because I used to say to her, quit losing weight. Just stay fat. You're beautiful. You're lovely. Just let it come out. Just be one of those big fat people who just hugs people. Everybody wants to fall into your arms. You're gorgeous. You're a lover. It's who you are. I found this magnet. It said, may you always feel as beautiful as you were in the eyes of God when he first thought of you. Isn't that beautiful? May you always feel as beautiful as you were in the eyes of God when he first thought of you. She still has it on her refrigerator. She's still trying to lose weight, unfortunately. But I just said, I just said to her, she said, you're always helping everybody else lose weight. I said, you should not lose weight. You should never lose another pound. It's not worth it. You're missing all these years of being beautiful, exactly as you are. We are so hard on ourselves. We are so stuck. It's right. My goodness, did I not write likes and dislikes on this board? It's the main point here. Yeah, likes and dislikes. Really, I mean it. We are so stuck there. It's almost all of what it means. It's not just about ourselves. We have likes and dislikes about everybody and everything. We really do. And you know, Swami says it over and over. Could you ever imagine spending your life trying to fix every dislike that you have? It's impossible. We've said it every week. You have to turn on the light. That's just exactly what you have to do. Anybody else have any other questions or comments? Let me just see if I have anything else that I wanted to. Oh, this is one other important point that I'm going to make, and then we'll stop for dinner. And that is, we have to be very mindful and gentle with ourselves and honest and loving. Sometimes when I see mothers particularly, they come in and they're just treating themselves badly in some way. You know, maybe they can't quit eating everything in the world and or they never exercise, and everybody loves to tell me how they have no time to do whatever they don't want to do, or whatever it is, it doesn't matter. And I'll say to them, if I told you right now that your child's life depended on getting out there and exercising for 30 minutes four times a week, if I said to you, your child will die if you don't make that happen, what would you do? They say, oh my God, I'd get out there and exercise four times a week. I say, can you treat yourself as with that much love as you treat your child? We have to be loving with ourselves. So we can't, because all of this could be so easily mistaken. Oh, I'm just going to become no feelings. I'm going to become dispassionate about everything. And we get cold. We get shut down. We actually create more of a block in the chakra than we had before. So I just want to say, this is why we practice with human love. This is why we practice loving. This is why we do the peace and harmony prayer. This is why we do so many things. We're transforming energy. We're not stifling it. Anywhere up this whole column here, anywhere up this astral spine, we can't stifle things. We have to be honest. It's going to play itself out anyway. Doesn't matter how many lies your mind tries to tell. It doesn't matter. You're still going to behave these ways until you can say, okay, this is who I am. What should I be doing now? How can I go about trying to move energy? What would that look like? And I'm not answering that question right now. That's the problem with 4 weeks and not eight. You don't get any of the answers. Come back next year. Actually, you can go online. There's a lot of eight-week classes and other classes, Asha's classes. Swamiji gave a beautiful series. He did a whole inner renewal week on the chakras many years ago. So 5 full mornings of just talking about them. It's wonderful. And you can hear many more suggestions. I mean, we're talking about them. We're talking about whether it's the peace and harmony prayer or looking into somebody's eyes and see Divine Mother. These are all what it is. I mean, even in weeks before, I've said to you, don't even think about the problem. Just put the right color on. Literally, it can start changing you. But make sure that you're being honest and that you're being real with yourself and you're literally biting off just as much as you can chew. Otherwise, it hurts too much. And none of us like to do things that hurt. We don't. We'll stop.
So now let's all sit straight up with a straight spine. Close a moment your eyes with the gaze upward. First, tune into the breath. Feel the breath like a subtle flow, a subtle river from the base of the spine going upward. And with exhaling, going inward, deeper within. Again, tune in. Every inhaling is an offering of love, of devotion, upward. Hold, stay for a moment in the spiritual eye. And with the exhaling, go deeper, deeper within. Feel that river, the river of life, the river of evolution, of growth inside you. Now concentrate in the center of the heart. Gently try to tense and relax your shoulder blades. Very subtle, stimulating that center. Feel like a beautiful lotus flower, brilliant lotus flower, opening up. And that lotus flower is the image of the Divine Mother of the universe. Filled with infinite love, unconditional infinite love, like an infinite ocean. Moving through your heart, expanding in your heart. Feel it, tune into it, while your gaze is always upward. Let's begin with a gentle song. You fill my heart with music. Sing gently with all your heart, all your feelings, and then feel. You fill my heart with music. I dance through life with thee. I sing your song and sorrows gone, in joy I live ever free. You fill my heart with music, I dance through life with thee. I sing your song and sorrows gone, in joy I live ever free. You fill my heart with music, I dance through life with thee. I sing your song and sorrows gone, in joy I live ever free. You fill my heart with music. I dance to life with thee. I sing your song and sorrow's gone. In joy I live ever free. Now only gently. Sing it with all your heart, with all your feeling. And then offer it up into the light in your spiritual eye. And when you exhale, feel that light entering your heart. All that is there is pure love, infinite love, the truth of the heart. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Gently you can open up your eyes again. How did that feel? How is the heart now? What can you feel inside your heart? I think only chanting a little bit, one understands when Master said, chanting is half of the battle. Why you think it is like that? Nobody knows? Yes, and all the energy is brought up. When we sing, we bring it up here. There's a feeling in it, in these words, when we sing to the divine. And singing is also a little bit like a pranayama. When you sing, you breathe in a certain way. And especially when you chant, it starts like a pranayama. But because the mind is captured by the meaning of the words, so it's silent, at least for a little while, and then the heart can open up and the energy can flow upwards. And so through chanting, very often, we can transform emotions into devotion, or also into calm feeling of the heart. Because only when our heart, when the waves of our heart are calm, divine love can express, deeper feelings can express, and our higher nature can come out and manifest itself. That beauty in the heart is always there, in each one. We have only to get the mind out of the way and let the heart manifest itself. There are beautiful words of Master. He said, the heart, why is the heart so essential? Like a river, love flows continuously through humble, sincere souls. But it bypasses the rocks of egotistic, selfish, sense-bound souls because it cannot pass through them. So when we chant, as Ramurti said, the mind goes out of the way. And the ego goes out of the way. Because when love starts to flow, the ego goes in holidays. Because somehow ego and love don't walk always together. Because also when we think of human love, you all remember when you fell in love the first time, already the word fell in love. Fallen in love. You remember when you maybe were a teenager in the high school? Wasn't that a nice feeling, like floating on a pink cloud? Beautiful. And then that big, big love all of a sudden has another love. And how does our heart then feel? Devastated, isn't it? It's like falling from the cloud to the earth, to the ground. And that is also when the ego is involved. When the ego falls in love. At the beginning, it's good. It's an experience. Because then it can grow. When it opens up to that. But as soon as it gets attached with conditions, and girls are very good then to put conditions on the boys, isn't it? In teenagers, more than the boys to on the girls. So that is always conditional love. It expresses itself, the heart opens up, but it's an opening up more outward, not upward. Instead, with practices, what we do, like with pranayama, we take that energy, we bring it inside, we go in, and then we offer it up. And through that, the heart can expand beyond the limitations of the mind and beyond limitations of our being. And love can express. As already Shanti had said, the heart is air, is connected, this center is connected with the element air. In the summertime, when you feel the gentle breeze, isn't it like the touch of the divine caressing you very gently and softly? That is like when we have calm feelings, very beautiful. But when you think of a hurricane, like Hurricane Katrina, what can air become when it is out of control? It can become devastating and very, very destructive. And the same thing is with our inner heart, with the, one can say, the astral heart. When the emotions become too powerful, it can be devastating for our consciousness. When you are very emotional, can you think clearly? Everybody can think clearly? Wow, then you are quite ahead of... When you're very emotional, you can think clearly? Nope. Normally, no. Okay? So that is... emotions are like a hurricane. When we observe nature, how much nature is made out of five elements, like also our bodies are made out of five elements. And so like nature can manifest the beauty of the elements, but also the destructive force. Like the earth, when there's an earthquake, it can be destructive. The same thing is when we get stuck. Too rigid, too stuck. Water, it is nurturing, it gives life, but when it's a flood, it's again destructive. Fire, the same. Air, the same. So it's always to see how to balance it, how to bring it to a state of harmony and inner equilibrium. Today we will work a little bit more with the heart. So we have only one chakra today, that's one of the toughest. When you look here at that, we have three chakras here, nicely. We have three chakras here, and who is in the center? The heart is in the center. Heart is the place where the energy can go downward and can get stuck. Heart is the place where the energy can flow upward and manifest our higher being, our true self, that what we are, which is not identified. So in the heart, lifetime after lifetime, all our experiences which we have, they get so nicely stuck in there, isn't it? And there comes then all these likes and dislikes. Already as a child, oh, I don't like spinach because the memory from past lifetimes, you didn't like it. And, oh, I love ice cream, or I love this or that, or mango. Isn't mango delicious? Memories. So it's all inside our heart. Heart is one of the most beautiful places, but it's also one of the most dangerous places. Because heart, the highest quality, is divine love. It's the love of the infinite cosmic mother. It's like also the seed of the cosmic mother. In that love, through that love, everything got created. But when it gets identified, Maya, illusion, is also there. So also, illusion sits in the heart. And we sometimes recognize it when we get distracted very slightly with all different situations. So we have to work more consciously with the heart, and sometimes it takes longer to go through the heart than with all other centers, because there's a lot in there. There's a lot of power, but there's also a lot of illusion, okay, in the center of the heart. When we talk about power, the heart, also according to Patanjali, is connected with pranayama. Air is connected with life force. When we start to gain control over the life force, over the element air, ether, we are quite ahead. A lot of work is then done, isn't it? And that's the point that is in the center of the heart. It has tremendous power. When an open heart is flowing upward, it's flowing with the power of the divine, it has infinite strength, infinite energy. Only a very little story of a woman whom I met in Italy. As everybody knows, Italy is a country of the heart, very much so. Also a country of emotions, very much so too. But it many, especially mothers, have an incredible love. And that lady, she had the flower store, and I didn't see her for a while, and when I met her then again, I asked her what happened. And she said her 18-year-old son had an accident with the motorcycle, and he was in coma. Doctors didn't have much hope. They said they don't believe he will come out, that he can survive, and if he comes out, he will have such a brain damage that he will not come back to normal life. The love of that mother. She was there in the hospital next to her son for 1 month. Slept maybe half an hour per night. Ate very little. People brought her to drink, but she didn't want. She had to fight for her son, and she did it with love. That whole month she didn't think of herself, her needs. Oh, I need sleep, I need rest. Her only thought was, my son needs love. My son needs me, that I'm there for him. And after 1 month, her son came out. The first thing he looked at her and said, grazie, thank you. Because he was aware of that flow of love. And she said she doesn't know how it was possible to be for 1 month. Afterwards, when she thought about it, for 1 month with nearly no sleep, nothing. And she had strength. Who gave that power to her? Who gave that strength to that woman? Which was nearly like a miracle. That is divine love. Unconditional divine love. Being there only for somebody else. With all the love, all the support possible. And not thinking of oneself. Okay? That is a manifestation of divine love and an incredible power what is behind it. Now when we go to that state of divine love, everything becomes joyful, easy. And it's like the divine romance begins. The whole universe gets influenced by that. When you are in connection with that love, with an open heart, unconditional, each person you meet, you feel a happiness. You feel that inner contact. And we feel a joy when you are connected with that love. And it's one of the greatest tools. Without love, without the heart, opening of the heart, upward, spiritual path or realization is nearly impossible. So it's one of the main things. How can we get there, all of us, practicing in little? And especially when we tune in, as Patanjali said, with pranayama, with opening up, tuning in, and the heart becomes still, like a beautiful lake, unmoving. The light of the soul can reflect in it and can manifest in it. With the heart, the connection are our arms. Arms are giving, serving, helping. That's the outer connection, outer expression. Is from that heart. It's like the symbol, what I love, like Jesus. He was pure manifestation of divine love. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. That was expression of love. And the symbol of the cross, as we say in Ananda, as in Ananda Sisi, when you see the symbol of the cross, it's like the energy is flowing upward, straight. And then it is going, opening up and embracing. And that is what the heart is, the symbol of the cross, unconditionally. So when, for example, when you are at work, at home, it's so easy to get upset with the neighbors, or it's so easy to get upset with family members or colleagues. Try to tune in what they are feeling. One way to feel compassion, to develop compassion, when somebody attacks you verbally, think, what does this person feel? When somebody attacks aggressively, that means he's feeling not very well inside. So instead of taking it personally, if in any situation you can see it, what does this person feel? And compassion comes in. And always then one finds a solution. In that moment, when you have an open heart and you pray, that energy of love goes out to the other. That is then expression of the heart. And everybody can practice it. Simply think. And somebody, also mother-in-law, always the famous mother-in-law, for example, think, what does she feel when she gets upset, or anybody. And the love will flow. Okay? One can practice it in every moment. Also feeling, what do little animals, creatures feel? Also flowers. I remember in Italy also one time, a little wasp was on the window. And I took a glass and put it on so I could carry it outside. Because it's nicer to have the wasp outside than inside the house. That was also a little egoistic, but it was with good intent. But at the moment I put the glass on it, and I was talking to it, don't worry, because that little being was afraid. When you have an open heart, you will feel what other creatures feel. And you will start to feel a unity with flowers, with plants. You will feel when a tree gets hurt. You will feel when you pluck a flower that it hurts. One becomes more and more sensitive, but in a beautiful way, in a more conscious awareness and perception. Okay? But to do that, we have to do a few things with our body, with the breath, and with the mind. Always the biggest obstacle for all the centers is the mind. Okay? For example, when we see somebody walking, I loved Swamiji as the example. Swamiji, when you saw, Swamiji walking, he always walked like this, straight ahead and open. What did that show? When one walks like this? Afraid of nothing, but also open heart. He was not concerned that anybody could hurt him. Many tried to hurt Swamiji, but he gave back love. He gave back compassion, kindness. And that is the difference. And that is walking like this. And then you see some people, especially in city or different places, walking like this, what does this manifest? Afraid, heart is closed. Be afraid of others. That is when the heart closes, when love cannot flow anymore. Then there is no strength, okay? Because one of the greatest strengths is love. When one loves like that mother, it was like she didn't do energization exercises or pranayama. She simply loved with all her heart and soul. And tremendous power came. Sleeping half an hour per night, more or less, is not much for 1 month every night. Only divine power can do that. And that manifests then. Okay? So try to practice for an open heart, for an open heart chakra, every day, with everything, with little creatures, become aware. Feeling that unity, as Shanti said, from here, boundaries go out, me and mine disappear, and one starts to perceive a sense of unity. You will feel when somebody is sad. You will feel when somebody is happy. But always be detached from it in a joyful way. Compassionately detached, as Swamiji called it. Having compassion, having feelings, but not getting identified with feelings, with your own, neither with others. Okay? Then you will be always protected, and there's never a reason to be afraid of anything. Love is the greatest power, as Shanti said. Love is like that light in a dark room. When that light is on, what to be afraid of? You see a few little spots here and there. Okay. These are all our little vrittis, all our little thingies in there in the heart. But don't identify with it. Before we start with the practical part, another thing, what also Shanti had mentioned, it was a beautiful experience, like in Austria. We are often very fast in judging and criticizing, isn't it? Is there anybody who never criticizes or judges? Also oneself, great silence. So from my side, I had a period of time where I was extremely critical with my own self, typical Austrian in that. And then one lady She was a very sensitive woman. She said, "You think you are greater than God?" And I looked at her and said, "No, at all." She said, "God never judges. God never criticizes. God only loves. Loves everybody. The greatest sinner and the greatest saint are loved equally by the divine consciousness." So where do we take the right to judge ourselves or others? When we see it like that, it becomes so much simpler and easier. Okay? Now let's go a little bit to more practices. I would like to do today with you first a little bit of opening up on the physical level. Then we do a pranayama, also with the arms, to move the energy. We do another pranayama to go more inward, and then we will work with a mudra, with a very beautiful mudra which opens the astral heart and helps to move that energy upward. Okay? For that, we need first again a little bit of energy. I can see here everybody has more or less the energy in the feet or in the shoes. So let's stand up a moment. And let's first doing the march. As we said, heart is straightly connected with the first chakra. So how is everybody? I'm awake and ready. 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 Very good. And now I'm positive, energetic, enthusiastic. I'm positive, energetic, enthusiastic. I'm positive, energetic, enthusiastic. Great. Now we can go a little bit on the floor. You can sit down also. Let's do a full stretch. Bring your left leg out because we want to open up a little bit more. Inhale, come up. Stretch and lengthen. Exhale, relax. Again. Inhale, stretch and lengthen. Exhale and relax. Other side. So also your stiff bones get moved. Inhale, lengthen, stretch. Exhale, relax. Inhale, stretch. Exhale and relax. Doesn't it feel better? Now, let's do first the circle of joy, which is one of the most beautiful practices for your heart. Before, I sit a little bit up so everybody can see me, because I see a few in the back. As always, with a straight spine. And when we talk about joy, when we have a face like this, do you manifest joy? So have a smile on your face. This time I become like an Austrian general in that way. And there's only one thought allowed while we do this pranayama. What do you think is that thought? Joy in this joy. Because joy and love go hand in hand. When you feel love flowing, you feel a tremendous joy. When you're enthusiastic and joyful, love is flowing. So they always go hand in hand. Okay? Bring your hands in the front. And with the thumb, push against your sternum. But try to sit really straight. When you sit like this, not much will happen. So really straight. Push against with a nice smile. You can close your eyes if you feel. Mentally repeat, joy, 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 ever new joy. And push and relax. Now inhale deep, inhale joy, bringing your fingers together, and with exhaling, expand your hands forward, expand the joy. Inhale, rise up with joy, stretch. Exhale, a circle of joy around you. Inhale, open to joy, bring the shoulder blades together. Exhale, back in the center of joy. Again, inhale, joy. Exhale, expand the joy from the center of your heart, stretch. Inhale, rise up in joy. Exhale, a circle of joy around you. Inhale, open to joy. Exhale, back in the center of joy. Inhale, joy. Exhale, expand with joy. Inhale, rise up with joy. Exhale, a circle of joy around you. Inhale, open with joy. Exhale, back in the center of joy. Now relax a moment. Your hands, you can bring them in Prana Mudra. Gaze is upward. What do you feel now in your heart? What is the state of your mind? Can you feel a change? Can you perceive a difference? How does it feel? Breathe deeply. Now we do a very focused full yogic breath. While sitting like this, with inhaling, inhale, expand your abdomen, expand your rib cage, and sorry. And your chest open up, and with exhaling, relax your chest, ribcage, abdomen. Again, inhale in the abdomen, ribcage, chest, very relaxed. Hold the breath a moment, and then exhale. Relax your chest, ribcage, abdomen. Once more, feel that wave like a flowing river. Inhale in the abdomen, ribcage expanding, chest expand, hold the breath, and then slowly exhale, chest, ribcage, abdomen. And simply feel a moment in your heart. Try to feel now the breath between the center of your heart and the spiritual eye. Inhale upward. Hold a moment the breath. Exhale, slowly come back to the center of the heart. With inhaling, go back up, offering everything upward. Into the light of the spiritual eye. Exhale, bring the light back in the center of your heart. With the next inhaling, offer every negative thought, experiences, blockages upward, identifications. God loves to take them. And with exhaling, fill your heart with light. An ocean of light. Now bring your left hand in the front, with the thumb straight. With your right hand, with the four fingers, surround your left thumb, closing it. Then with the right thumb and the left index finger, bring them together. And the other fingers gently on it, like this. It becomes like a conch. Okay? So thumb, right thumb with the left index finger. Bring that in front of your heart. Bring your gaze upward, like this. Hold that mudra in front of your heart, mentally chanting Om, Om, Om. Or you can chant also Om Guru, Om Guru, Om Guru. Tune into the heart center. Go deep within while chanting Om Guru. And now begin consciously to breathe. Very slowly, inhale from your heart center up to the spiritual eye. Hold the breath in the spiritual eye. Feel the light of the Masters, the presence of Master. And with exhaling, bring his presence into the heart, while mentally always chanting Om Guru. Again, consciously inhale from the center of the heart upward. Any difficulty you have, any negative thought, worries, offer them up. Give them to the divine. Hold the breath in the spiritual eye. And with exhaling, consciously bring the presence, the light of the divine into your heart. Again, inhale. Consciously from the heart center upward. Feel that open channel. All little vrittis, likes and dislikes, worries, offer everything up with every inhaling from the heart. Hold it in the light of the spiritual eye. And with exhaling, bring that light into your heart. The next inhaling, offer any fear, worries, insecurity, upward into the spiritual eye, while mentally chanting Om Guru. And with the exhaling, bring the light of the soul of the Masters into your heart. A few more deep breaths, while always chanting Om or Om Guru. Inhale deep from the center of the heart upward. Offer any anger, any challenge or difficulties with some people, offer it up into the light of the spiritual eye. Hold it there. And with exhaling, gently bring it back, the light, into your heart. Then stay for a moment only in your heart, while the gaze is upward. Maybe you can feel a pulsating, flow of energy. Slowly open up the mudra and bring your hands back in prana mudra. And again, breathe deeply. Try to be in your spine. You can visualize like a hollow tube of filled with light. Like a golden river, free, powerfully flowing along the spine, through the heart, upward. Now bring your legs forward while you're still in the spine. Straight. Bring your left leg over the right leg. Hold with your right hand the left knee. With your left hand in the back, inhale, straighten up, lengthen. Hold your breath while turning toward the left side. Inhale, lengthen. Exhale, turn. Inhale, lengthen. Exhale, turn until you look over your shoulder, over your left shoulder. Continue on to breathe deeply. Don't forget to smile. Now consciously inhale into your heart. Inhale light, golden light. Hold for a moment. And then exhale, expand that light toward all. Toward all beings on the earth. Mentally affirming. I radiate love and goodwill to soul friends everywhere. Inhale light. Inhale the light of love. Hold the breath. And consciously with exhaling, expand, radiating light of love. To all beings, to all children of God. Now inhale deep, lengthen up, slowly move your head forward, your full spine. Straighten your leg. If you feel to, you can sit cross-legged for a moment or with the straight legs. Close the eyes. Continue on to breathe through the heart with a gentle smile on your face. Tune in to the feeling of kindness, sweetness, tenderness, love, ocean of love. Now again, move your legs forward. Stay always in your heart. Right leg over the left leg. Hold with your left hand your right knee. Right hand in the back. Inhale, straighten up. And with exhaling, turn toward the right side. Inhale, lengthen. Exhale. Turn also your head over the right shoulder. Breathe deeply. Feel that openness in the heart center. Inhale light. Hold for a moment. exhale, expand that light toward all. I radiate love and goodwill to soul friends everywhere. Inhale light. Hold for a moment. Now exhale, expand that light, especially to those souls where you have difficulties with. I radiate love and goodwill to soul friends everywhere. Inhale, lengthen up. Slowly move your head, your shoulders, your whole spine. Come back in the center for a moment. Again, breathe between your heart and the spiritual eye. Focus on that flow. Focus on freedom, openness. Free from all identifications. Feel that you are a river of love. Fountain of love. Tune in to your true nature. Now gently come onto your knees. We do only the simple version. Bring your hands at the base of the spine. Straight up, inhale. Exhale, slowly bend back. Head is in alignment with your spine. So don't let your head fall back. Bring your chin down to chest. Focus on opening your heart upward. Visualize a ray of light coming from above and entering straight into your heart. It's the ray of love, mentally affirming with calm faith, I open to thy light. With calm faith, I open to thy light. Visualize that light permeating your heart, filling your heart with beautiful, brilliant white light, divine grace. With calm faith, I open to thy light. Feel that openness of your heart, the faith of being guided by the divine. Inhale, come up straight. Exhale, slowly relax down into the child pose. Completely let go. Now feel the energy. Feel like a subtle movement, pulsation behind your shoulder blades. Visualize yourself like a divine child in the arms of divine mother, cosmic mother of the universe, holding you. Feel yourself completely relaxing into her arms. Tune in to the sweetness of Divine Mother, to the kindness, love, all-pervading love. While mentally affirming, I relax from outer involvement into my inner heaven of peace. Feel the subtle breath flowing in the center of your heart, expanding more and more. Now with the next inhaling, slowly come up onto your knees, and we slowly stand up for a moment. We want to connect again the first chakra with the fourth, with one very beautiful posture. We'll guide you in it. It's Muktasana, posture of liberation, of freedom. We bring our, I do again mirror, so it's easier for you. Left leg forward, right leg is back. Tuck in a little bit your hips with tension in your gluteus muscles, so to protect the lower spine. Hands in Anjali Mudra. And with a smile and a joyful deep inhaling, come up and back. Gaze upward. Try to hold your gaze firm also when it is open. Now again, any little tiny thing, blockage which is still in your heart, consciously with inhaling, offer up into the spiritual eye. And with exhaling, bring the light into your heart, mentally affirming, I am free, I am free, I am free. Feel that inner freedom with every breath, letting go. Balloons of unnecessary thoughts and worries are flying upward. With every exhaling, feel inner freedom. Inhale, come straight, lengthen. Exhale, surround yourself with freedom. Step backward. And close a moment your eyes. Feel inside you. Feel in your heart. What is there? I am free. I am free. I am free. Feel that stillness, that lightness. Now let's go the other side. Right leg forward, left leg back. Again, tension in your gluteus muscles. Hands in Anjali Mudra. With a smile. Inhale up and slowly go back. Gaze upward. Don't forget to smile. Breathe deeply from your heart upward, offering every experience, past, future, present, everything offer upward. And with exhaling, the eternal now of the soul enters your heart, mentally affirming, I am free. I am free. I am free. Again, inhale upward, stretch. Exhale, surround yourself with freedom. Step backward and close your eyes again. Feel inside. Observe that flow between your heart and the spiritual eye. Feel the love, the sweetness in your heart. Now slowly we sit down for a short meditation. Now first, with a double inhaling, inhale, tense and vibrate your whole body. With double exhaling, relax and let go. You can bring your hands again in Prana Mudra. Gaze is upward. Go into your spine. Go into the center of your heart. Fill your body with air. With every inhaling, inhale purity, light. And with every exhaling, let go of any identification. Inhaling purity and light, exhaling letting go. Inhale joy, exhale sadness. Inhale light. Exhale, darkness, confusion, letting go. Inhale, love. Exhale, anger, resentment. Let go. Gaze is upward. Be a silent witness and observer of the subtle flow between the heart and the spiritual eye. A free flow like River Ganga. Flowing freely, pure, crystal clear, between your heart and the spiritual eye. With every breath, feel deeper stillness. The next inhaling, inhale now from the heart up. Hold in the spiritual eye. Exhale through the spiritual eye. And remain in the spiritual eye. Now visualize planet Earth in your spiritual eye, surrounded by light, brilliant light of kindness, sweetness, compassion, love. Wrap your hands together opening up. Now feel the light going through your hands, through your center of the heart, filling the world. We chant three times on, focusing on love, compassion and kindness. Oh. Divine Mother, may your love shine forever on the sanctuary of our devotion, and may we be able to awaken your love in all hearts. Feel in your heart the effect. Slowly we can open up. And still with words of Master, find God's love first. Then, with his love, love whatever or whomever you like. To expect perfection in human love is folly. Unless one seeks to perfect that love by feeling within, it's God's love. Do not limit your love to one being, however lovable, to the exclusion of all else. With the love you feel for the one you love most, love all beings and all things. Thank you all. How is everybody? Could you feel a difference in your heart? A change? How is the mind now? Is it happy? Only with the breath. Thank you all. And try to stay as much as possible in an uplifted heart. Okay? That way you become the greatest blessings for everybody around you. This world needs so much kindness, understanding and love. Also in a store, wherever you are, and you give a smile of kindness, you're serving mankind more than with anything else. Thank you. And you will have a lot of energy to it. Remember the story of the mother. Love is powerful.